This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, defective bloc campaigners are protesting outside the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny this evening. Fianna Fáil's general election selection convention is due to take place there later. A ghost law protest that was to have taken place on roads around the venue has been cancelled. Investigations are continuing after a motorcyclist in his 60s died in a crash in West Donegal yesterday. The Department of Foreign Affairs says it's providing consular assistance after the death of a Donegal man in police custody in Portugal. A postal delivery is to be made in Duhurry on Saturday after deliveries were suspended for the past 2 days as a result of illness. Later in the bulletin, Mark is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the protest taking place this evening outside the Clannery Hotel. The Fianna Fáil selection convention set to take place later this evening. Defective bloc campaigners did cancel a ghost law protest that was to have taken place on the N15 four-lane and dual carriageway, saying the driving element of the demonstration was cancelled because it would have inconvenienced local traffic. Well, a short time ago, Donna Marie Doherty spoke to Chris Duddy at the protest. He says while the Fianna Fáil convention is not the only reason for the demonstration, it's important that the party which is in government realises the enormity of the current situation.
I know the Fianna Fáil meeting is on here today, but it's not necessarily just for them. But at the end of the day, the housing minister is a Fianna Fáil housing minister. One of our TDs is sitting pretty closely in there with him making these decisions. And we have to come out and show our discontent. And now what it is, discontent and anger and, I don't know, despondency at this stage that we're back here again. I'm back doing what I did 3 or 4 years ago after saying I'm walking away, I'm going to walk on with my life, I'm going to fix my house at great cost. My house will cost me at least $80,000 along with my grand. So anybody out there thinking that this is 100% schemes, it's not the truth. And you will find out when you go into the scheme. So educate yourself in your scheme and your friends educating yourself in your scheme and their colleagues and family, because until you're in it, I once said, the Mica homeowners are like a big family. It might be a dysfunctional one, not by choice. But you walk into a bar, you walk into a social event, you will eventually hook up with one, and only they can relate to each other the stresses and strains that they have been under. Our representatives have been woefully inadequate. This government has been woefully inadequate. And we are not going to stand for it any longer. And I predict that this is the start of campaigning again. So it's up to them what they want to do now, Donna Marie. They can do the right thing and fix this, and fix it with urgency, and fix it with a deep meaning behind it, and a forceful meaning, of a group meaning, that they can go in and sort this county out, because that's what it takes at this stage. We're homeowners. We shouldn't have to be doing this. We shouldn't be defining our lives by having defective block homes.
And that was Chris Duddy speaking to Donna Marie Doherty outside the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny a short time ago. More from Chris available on our website, highlandradio.com. Investigations are continuing after a motorcyclist in his 60s died in a crash in West Donegal yesterday. He's the second person to die on Donegal's roads within a week and the 13th to lose their life on the county's roads so far this year. With more, here is Donna Marie Doherty.
Gardaí are appealing for witnesses following the death of a man who was in his 60s in a motorbike crash yesterday at around 10 to 3 in the afternoon. It was on the R257 at Knock a Staller between Bunbeg and Door Upper. A post-mortem examination is due to be carried out. The road was closed for technical examination by Garda Forensic Collision Investigators and has since been reopened. Gardaí are appealing for any witnesses, including road users who may have dash cam footage, to contact Milford Garda Station.
The Department of Foreign Affairs says it's providing consular assistance after the death of a Donegal man in custody in Portugal. The 29-year-old who'd been living in Letterkenny is reported to have been found dead in his cell yesterday morning. It's believed he'd been arrested and taken into police custody in Albufeira on Tuesday night. Portuguese police say they're investigating the circumstances of his death. A postal delivery is to be made in Doohery on Saturday after deliveries were suspended for the past 2 days after the issue was raised by Councillor Micheál Colum-Gala-Osbach on post confirmed to Highland Radio News this evening that the post Doohery is delivered out of Dunloe and they had staff shortages yesterday and today as a result of illness. Confirming a full delivery will be made on Saturday. A spokesperson apologised to people in the area for any inconvenience. Uisce Éireann says it's investigating reports of supply disruptions affecting water in New Mills, Bomini and surrounding areas outside Letterkenny. That area has been affected on a number of occasions in recent times by water outages. Uisce Éireann says more information will be published as they get it. There's a link on highlandradio.com to the Uisce Éireann website which will provide those updates. Health and safety concerns have resulted in the Rescue 118 helicopter being forced to land more than 3 kilometres away from Letterkenny University Hospital. The issue came to light after a woman was airlifted from Errigal Mountain in recent days and landed at the Letterkenny airfield instead of the hospital's helipad. Well, Councillor Jerry McMonagle is a member of the HSE Regional Health Forum.
There was a report, the Bunbeg Coast Guard had to intervene and help a lady, and then she was transported then from the coast and the 118 to Letterkenny, and it said that in the report that they landed at the Letterkenny airfield and then was transferred to the ambulance and then on to the hospital. And that got me, well, what's happened here? And I made a few inquiries, and then I heard that the helipad was out of action due to concerns around health and safety. They were having to land at what we know locally as Stevenson Field and transfer the patients then onto an ambulance. So I made inquiries to the hospital, and I've since heard that yes, the helipad is due to lighting and a couple of other issues, was out of action for the 118 Coast Guard helicopter, but that they hope to have it back up and running in the next couple of days.
Members of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District are seeking regular updates on the progress of projects being funded under the Urban Regional Development Fund. Over €25 million has been allocated to the district over the past 5 years for projects such as the Old Courthouse, the Market Square and the Alpha and Beta Centres on the old ESB site. Money is also provided for works on derelict buildings, with compulsory purchase orders now being processed in respect of 12 buildings and more set to follow. Well, Councillor Kieran Brogan says there has been frustration among the business community in the town at the lack of progress as they perceive it. He says it's important that momentum is maintained and that progress is conveyed to the wider public.
They've identified 46 properties in total where they're engaging with the landowners, and they're now moving ahead with CPOs and 12 properties or acquisitions. So I think that's a strong statement of intent of what's happening here around Letterkenny. But there's a lot of plans there in the old ESB site on the Port Road. It works well advanced there. The old courthouse, obviously. We had a presentation earlier to workshop tour and the possibility of a new tourism destination centre there. But we need to see more action quicker around the Cathedral Quarter, the Market Square. But the derelict buildings, the strong message is that anywhere there is derelict buildings, that we need to begin in as a matter of urgency with CPO to take action, because the business people in the town are feeling somewhat frustrated. And I think there's a lot of good work being done, and we need to, I suppose, demonstrate to them how committed we are. But I suppose this has been an issue now that's ongoing for a long number of years. But the good thing is we have $26 million allocated to Letterkenny for regeneration, and I think that in itself is a good news story, and we need to pursue and make sure that we do this as quick as possible.
We spoke just before the summer about the Alpha and Beta buildings at that old ESB site, and there hadn't been tenders fully secured and accepted. Mm-hmm. Where do we stand on that now? Are we any closer on getting work beginning on those buildings?
Well, I'm confident enough that there's a review group looking at that at the minute, and we have funding well secured from across different parties there, and it's a matter of us making sure that we get the best value for money. But I'm confident that project will go ahead, and that will be a real game changer for the real regeneration of Letterkenny.
And that was Councillor Kieran Brogan. A veterinary school for the Atlantic Technological University now appears to be a step closer. It's believed University of Limerick has withdrawn its bid for a vet school, leaving the ATU as the preferred bidder. Dr. Gerard Rorty says while this is a significantly huge step, it's still not over the line. He says there are challenges ahead, not least the fact that ATU may have to increase the number of places to meet demand. A double payment of child benefit before Christmas is likely to form part of the budget. The Social Protection Minister, Heather Humphreys, says she's conscious of the great expenses that families have in wintertime. The minister also says she's open to the idea of quadrupling child benefit for the first month of a baby's life to help out new parents.
Well, actually, I know you're going to say, you would say this, Heather, wouldn't you? But the records will show that I have discussed that with my officials, and I actually think it's a good idea. But again, these things all have to be considered in the context of the budget.
Finance Minister Jack Chambers is being asked to provide financial support in the forthcoming budget to allow Uadhras na Gaeltachta and other agencies support the provision of housing for Irish speakers in Gaelic areas. A submission from the Gaelic-based organisation Banu says it's very difficult for Irish speakers to find suitable housing. Very few homes are available for long-term renting, the statement says, and young local people are being priced out of the market for houses that are for sale. Donal O'Crofty is the Irish Language Planning Officer for Gwydor and the Lower Rosses. He says the housing crisis is threatening the Gaelic's future.
We realise that there is a housing crisis throughout the country. This crisis is exacerbated again in the Gaeltacht because of the language issue. If we cannot keep the younger population living in the Gaeltacht, it is going to disrupt that natural acquisition of Irish through intergenerational transfer that's been happening here for generations. They are moving away already. They are moving to Australia. They are moving to other countries. The long-term effect of that is the decline of the Gaeltacht as an entity.
How big a problem is planning insofar as people report they have perhaps a plot of land they've received from a relative, but they can't get permission to build on it? How much is that a factor in this?
Well, it is a factor, especially in some areas of Donegal. You know, one third of the landmass of Donegal is a designated Gaeltacht area. The NRA have rules regarding building close to the N56, for example. So they are continuously refusing to allow planning permission on the N56. The N56 passes through a large portion of the Gaeltacht area. Also, there are rules regarding conservation and there's SACs and all that, especially in areas like Glencolum Kill and on the islands. There need to be a flexibility built into the system as well.
Works to rebuild a wall at Loch Salt are underway from today, with much more money being sought by Donegal County Council to widen a dangerous bend on the other side of the loch. Part of the original wall was effectively demolished when a car hit it in June. A subsequent temporary safety barrier erected after that crash was itself badly damaged in a similar incident a few weeks ago. Councillor Liam Blaney says it's a dangerous bend on a part of the lake that gets very deep very quickly, and had either of those cars gone into the water, the consequences could have been very serious.
Fortunately, neither of the two vehicles that went through the wall, neither of them entered the water, thankfully, and as we all know from past history, that does not have a safe lake at all. And that particular area, as in other areas, most parts of Loch Salt, it gets very, very, very deep very quickly. And look, hopefully this will help prevent any vehicles, along with the crash barrier that's been put up a number of years ago, a long number of years ago now. It was nearly 20 years ago. Hopefully that will stop any other vehicles.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Gear up for the championship with all your training and matchday essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. We'll start with soccer, and Finn Harps looks set to consider the option of full or partial private ownership in the coming months. Harps are just one of several clubs who continue to feel the pinch from rising running costs, but no increase in income. This week, the club have asked football fans in the Northwest and beyond to back their fundraising draw, and also to get behind the team as they took on Longford Town on Friday night, looking to make it 3 wins in a row and gain further ground in the chase for the playoffs. The bigger picture for the club is a daunting one, and they are exploring a model change that will help them survive in an ever-changing league. Commercial Officer Aidan Campbell told Highland Radio Sport they plan to take the private ownership concept to the shareholders and supporters.
You know, we have tremendous support from local sponsors, from our 500 club members, from our season ticket holders. But there's always a gap every year. And it's where do you grow revenue to fill that gap? And other clubs have basically said, look, they needed to consider a different model where either you take on investment or you do something with your shares. So it's got to be something we look at. And I think we will go out and speak about it with our shareholders and supporters in the coming weeks.
There's more from Aidan now in the sports section at highlandradio.com, and it will also feature on this evening's Score programme after the 7 o'clock news. Also on that show, former Harps man Declan Boyle will join us for our weekly League of Ireland chat, and Francie Martin will look ahead to the All-Ireland Masters final for Donegal on Saturday. A hearing into Manchester City's 115 alleged breaches of the Premier League's financial rules will reportedly begin on Monday. The champions of six of the last seven seasons are charged with failure to provide accurate financial information over a nine-year span. A final judgment is not expected until early next year, and City deny any wrongdoing. Meanwhile, Mikel Arteta is understood to have agreed a new three-year deal with Arsenal, which will keep him at the club until 2027. The Spaniard has guided the Gunners to second place in the last two Premier League campaigns. He was appointed manager in December 2019. In Gaelic games, Malachy O'Rourke has confirmed that long-time deputies Ryan Porter and Leo McBride will be part of his backroom team after he was handed the reins of Tyrone this week. The new Red Hand boss is succeeding Brian Duher and Fergal Logan, but will be sticking with his club duties with All-Ireland champions Glenn for the remainder of this season's campaign. O'Rourke has also been working with Jim Gavin and Michael Murphy in finding new rules that will enhance the game. And if the rules are implemented after the interprovincial trial process, he says it will make for an interesting league with no pre-season competition.
To be going in and not having those pre-season competitions, sometimes the challenge matches can give you a wee bit of a false sense of where you are not there. So it will be, you'll be going in and you'll be hitting the ground running. And if there are a number of rule changes, you know, that'll be a different dynamic as well. You know, so there will be plenty of things to think about, you know. And obviously as well, if the rule changes come in, a lot of the training will be geared towards actually fighting out what the rules are, getting the players used to playing that way and so on. It'll definitely be an interesting time, you know.
In horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall will ride in the Royal Bahrain Irish Champion Stakes at Leopardstown this Saturday. The Donegal jockey will team up with trainer Aidan O'Brien and will mount Irish Derby winner Los Angeles in the Group 1 race. Los Angeles has won three of his four races to date at York, the Curra and Leopardstown in May, and also took third at Epsom in June. In golf, there are 11 Irish players in the field for the Amgen Irish Open, which got underway at Royal County Down this morning. With the latest from day one, here's Dennis Kerwin.
England's Todd Clements leads by a shot on 4 under par so far through 10 holes on a day when low scoring has been rare. England's Will Ennifer, who has missed 9 of his last 10 cuts, is the clubhouse leader on 3 under par after a superb round of 68 in tough, blustery conditions. There's a group of 9 players on 2 under par that includes Rory McIlroy, who has 3 birdies and a single bogey on his card so far through 13 holes. Among those on 2 under alongside McIlroy are England's Daniel Brown, who was a leading contender at the recent Open Championship at Troon, South African PGA Tour player Eric Van Rooyen, and Soren Kjeldsen, who won the Irish Open in 2015 when it was last played here at Royal County Down, and whose love affair with this course continues. Shane Lowry is 2 over par with 3 holes to play, while amateur Sean Keeling is playing well. He's level par through 7. Padraig Harrington had a 2 over par round of 73, while Seamus Power signed for a 74. But it's Rory McIlroy who's stalking the leaders here at Royal County Down. At the Amgen Irish Open, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Our golf coverage is with Halpiny Golf, top brands, best prices. That's all your sports news for today, but be sure to tune in for the Score programme between 7 and 8 this evening. Back to you, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, first this evening, there's been a 12% decline in the number of students seeking to do the Green Cert at Teagasc Colleges this year, according to the Irish Farmers Journal. Meanwhile, farmers and vets in Ireland are being asked to add their voices to a cross-European exercise to find out what animal diseases are of most concern to the agricultural community. The BioSecure project, funded by the European Commission, is inviting farmers and vets in the cattle, poultry, goat and sheep sectors across the country to take part in this survey. And to take part, Donegal farmers and vets can visit the Teagasc website and they'll find more details there about this. Well, my guest this evening is Ciara Leahy, editor of Irish Country Living. Her magazine has just teamed up with a number of organisations to raise awareness and money for mental health charities' telephone lines, as new figures show how the farming community can be more susceptible to suicide than many other sectors of society.
I suppose it's been a hard year for farmers and the farming community. I mean, we had an 8-month winter and then we went into summer, and unfortunately we didn't get much of a summer. And we were just thinking, you know, like, it's September now, people are going, facing into another winter, and, you know, and we really wanted to run a month-long campaign in Irish Country Living where we focused on mental health to help our readers build resilience ahead of the winter. I suppose when you say that you're running a 4-week mental health campaign, you can think, oh, that's a lot of doom and gloom in the paper, but I suppose it's quite the opposite. Yes, we've had articles that show, I guess, the starkness of figures in terms of suicide and people that are suffering with depression in the country, but also there's a lot of, I suppose, positive and helpful articles as well. You know, I suppose, like, for example, in today's paper, we've an article about burnout and just highlighting what's the difference between stress, which we all have stress in our lives. I mean, you can be stressed out trying to, you know, get the kids to school in the morning. But I guess the real difference between stress and burnout and, you know, what is out there for people to help them when they're not feeling the best, you know, I mean, to go deeper than just, you know, go to your GP or chat to your GP for a referral, what really is out there for people.
There's been a number of studies out, and the Central Statistics Office, well, it has identified the fact that the prevalence of suicide amongst men is particularly high. And much of the research, you know, it'll be hoped that the findings can help to lead to responses that can alleviate the situation that we have in this country at the moment.
Absolutely. I mean, some of the figures are really stark. The most recent CSO figures actually show that 72% of the people that took their life in 2022 were men. So practically 3/4 of those who died by suicide were men. And there's also a very interesting study by HUG, which is a charity, and the HSC's National Suicide Prevention Office, that found that when somebody dies by suicide, up to 135 people may be affected. So you think, obviously, of the immediate family. But, you know, there's so many people in the community, people that might have been there to help in the situation, you know, Gardaí, people in the community. So many people are affected by one single death, and up to from 15 to 30 people are severely affected. Interestingly, those recently bereaved by suicide are 10 times more likely to die by suicide themselves, which the figures are really stark. And, you know, I suppose it is about looking at what I suppose the risk factors is really important, because rurality is an important risk factor for suicide, particularly for men from a geographical point of view, because there is a certain level of isolation and loneliness, and also maybe harder to get to services. You know, they might not be as nearby as if you were living in a city or an urban area. Also, when we look at certain sectors, those who work on their own are also have higher suicide rates. So the likes of farmers and vets, and some of the risk factors include job insecurity, income concerns, climate concerns, isolation and rural location. I mean, these are all factors that impact people in the farming community.
I see the UCD Agri Mental Health Team. Now, it published a study in June of this year, and a total of 457 farmers responded, so it certainly was a good sample size, and it revealed that nearly 23% of participants were considered at risk of suicide, and farm stress significantly associated with higher suicidal ideation and psychological distress. So quite startling figures again.
It is, it really is, and I guess this goes back to, you know, people just feeling overwhelmed and, you know, and things being outside of their control. So, you know, and look, as I said before, stress is, you know, a part of it. But there is a big difference between stress and burnout. You know, stress is something that we all go through, as I said. Being burnt out, red flags for that are like fatigue, sleep difficulties, poor motivation, poor concentration, fighting with partners and children, low mood, feeling irritable and anxious a lot of the time. So I suppose they're really highlighting those red flags in this week's paper, because it's I suppose we just want to say, you know, if you're feeling this way, there are people out there, there are services out there that can help to try and avoid getting to a stage where people are having suicidal thoughts, or, you know, get to a stage where, you know, unfortunately they think about it seriously. I found this really interesting. Stress involves too much pressure. So too many pressures that demand too much of you, both physically and mentally. But stressed people can still imagine that if they can just get everything under control, they'll feel better. Being burnt out is different. You feel empty and mentally exhausted. You feel devoid of motivation and beyond caring. And if excessive stress feels like you're drowning, burnout is a sense of being all dried up. And I think that's important, because, you know, there's some people that, you know, might not realise, oh my God, I really am feeling burnt out. And there are, you know, a lot of places where people can reach out.
Now, tell us a little bit about how Irish Country Living has teamed up with a number of organisations throughout September to raise awareness and money for mental health charities' telephone lines.
I suppose we were there in the summer going, yeah, we should do something on mental health. And the more we thought about it, we were like, this isn't just one article. You know, it's not even just a few articles and one issue. We really wanted to cover it in-depthly. And that's why we have dedicated September, all the issues in September, to Break the Cycle. That's the name of our campaign. And we approached Tier Lawn, who have so many, you know, farmers on board with them. And they were really interested in running it with us. And then their charity partner is Aware. So we it's not just an awareness campaign. We're also trying to raise money to support Aware's support line, because they answer 80 calls a day to help people. And it is very comforting to know that somebody's on the end of the phone. But of course, it is ploughing season. We feel ploughing season a lot. You could feel when you walked into the Farmers Journal the other morning, ploughing is around the corner. So we were just thinking, how can we bring this alive at ploughing and make it a talking point? And I guess exercise is a huge thing for people's mental health. You know, getting out, some fresh air, getting the endorphins going, you know, it is important. So what we're doing at the ploughing next week is we're bringing 3 exercise bikes to our stand at the ploughing. And our aim is to cover 80 kilometres on each bike a day, in recognition of the 80 calls that Aware answer every day. So if on each bike we get 80 kilometres, our aim is to get to 720 kilometres over the 3 days. And our whole thing is, you know, everybody, if you're passing, just give us a few minutes or a kilometre, you know, anybody that's at the ploughing, to help us reach our goal. Also, it's a place to talk, to come over, and we can talk about the fact that we're doing this campaign.
And that was Ciara Leahy, editor of the Irish Country Living magazine. Finally, the Donegal Blackface Sheep Breeders Association and Broca Perth Blackface Sheep Breeders Association's annual female breeding sale is on Friday, September the 20th at Balbuffet in Stranorlar Livestock Mart, and gets underway at 6 o'clock. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
With the forecast cool and bright in a moderate to fresh northwesterly breeze, any lingering showers will die out as the evening progresses. Tonight is set to be dry and cold with mostly clear skies and light winds. Lowest temperatures overnight 1 to 5 degrees Celsius with a few mist patches forming, perhaps a touch of grass frost. A cold and mostly dry start tomorrow with sunny spells. Cloud building through the late morning and afternoon with patchy rain and drizzle moving in from the Atlantic. Top temperatures on Friday 13 to 15 degrees Celsius with moderate to fresh southwest winds. Main stories in brief this evening: defective active bloc campaigners are protesting outside the Clonry Hotel in Letterkenny, where Fianna Fáil's general election selection convention is due to get underway shortly. Earlier, they cancelled the Go Slow protest that was to have taken place on the N15 four-lane and dual carriageway, saying the driving element of the demonstration was cancelled because it would have inconvenienced local traffic. Investigations are continuing after a motorcyclist in his 60s died in a crash in West Donegal yesterday. It happened at Knockestoller shortly before 3 o'clock. The Department of Foreign Affairs says it's providing consular assistance after the death of a Donegal man in custody in Portugal. The 29-year-old who'd been living in Letterkenny was found dead in a cell yesterday morning. And a postal delivery is to be made in Duhurry on Saturday after deliveries were suspended for the past 2 days after the issue was raised by Councillor Micheál Colum-Gillasbach. And Post confirmed to Highland Video News that the post at Duhurry is delivered out of Dunloe and they had staff shortage yesterday and today due to illness. Confirming a full delivery will be made on Saturday. A spokesperson apologised to customers for any inconvenience. Well, that's Highland Video News for now. We're back with headlines at 6. The news is available, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 12th of September. The death has occurred of Connie Maguire, Liz Monaghan, Letterkenny, formerly of Glen Road, Glenties. Reposing at his late residence this evening from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock and again tomorrow from 12 noon to 9 o'clock. Funeral from there on Saturday to St. Julian's Cathedral for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv, followed by burial in Cornwall Cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has occurred of Philip McCaverty, Lee Branna, Aran Moore Island. His remains will repose at Midland's funeral home tomorrow from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock with removal to the 5:30 ferry going to his home. Reposing there until 11 o'clock tomorrow night and again from 12 noon until 11 o'clock on Saturday. Rosary both nights at 9. Removal on Sunday morning for a 12:30 funeral mass in St. Cronus Church, Aran Moore, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel. The death has occurred of John Bonner, Ballygolly, New Mills, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at the family residence until 10 o'clock this evening and from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. tomorrow. Rosary both nights at 9. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Columbus Church, Glen Swilly, with burial afterwards in Cornwall Cemetery. The funeral mass can be reviewed on refodiocese.ie. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Con MacDade funeral directors. The death has occurred of John Dolan, Liskey, Ballandrate, Lifford. John will repose at his late residence from 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from his late residence on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass can be viewed on clonleyparish.com. The death has taken place of Bridget Cassidy, née Gormley, 5, Evish Grove, Strabane, reposing at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Susan McCall, Middle Door, Bunbeg. Her remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derrybeg, until Rosary this evening at 8 and again tomorrow from 1 o'clock until 6:30. Removal afterwards to St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11, followed by interment in Maharagallan Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of Mary Ann McCready, née Cunningham, Coole, Cranford, formerly of Crossroads, Dunkaneely, reposing at Gallagher's Funeral Home, Station Road, Mount Charles, until 9 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Coole, Cranford, for funeral mass at 3:30, with interment afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Gallagher's Funeral Home. The death has occurred of Elizabeth Lizzie Meehan, Mina Kelly, Donegal Town. Her remains are reposing at the family residence with rosary at 9:00 tonight. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 11:30, going to St Mary's Church, Killymard, for 12 noon funeral mass with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospital Patients Comfort Fund. And the death has occurred in Glasgow of Kathleen Duffy. Remains en route from Glasgow to St Michael's Church, Urris Clonmany, arriving tonight at 9:00. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 10:00, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Kathleen's funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.